If you can get your Bible, we'll be opening up to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are
willing, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock.
And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble.
All right. Well, thanks, Angela, for bringing us that Bible reading. And good morning to everyone. My name is Matt, one of the pastors here at Christ Central. And I'll tell you what, I've had a great weekend. We had a lot of great community events we saw in the video before. So it's been so good and so great just to be able to catch up with each other. Hey, isn't it? Whether you're climbing a mountain at the beach or having a barbecue together, how great is that? I'm going to pray for us as we do have a look at the Word together this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for who you are. Lord, you are the God who reigns over this universe, and yet you still care very much for us. Lord, we thank you that as we come here this morning, that we can hear from your word, Lord, what you shape our minds and our hearts, that we might follow you and live in a way that honors you. Amen. All right, well, what do you think of when you think of tough animals? Yeah, you're kind of thinking of bulldogs or lions, tigers, eagles. You know, basically anything that could appear in any of those footballing mascots, right? But the last animal that you're going to think of is a sheep. A sheep. Now, I don't know, the Brisbane sheep doesn't quite have the same ring as Brisbane Broncos, although probably sheep would probably play better than the Broncos right now. Now, sheep, not one of those animals that have the reputation of being particularly tough. In fact, I think in our culture we kind of think of sheep as being stupid. Now, I've heard, and apparently there's been studies done, that sheep maybe aren't so dumb as we think they are. And I heard this great story from a farmer recently. This farmer who was out with his flock one day, and he noticed one of the lambs had his head stuck in a fence. And so he had to go over and twist the head, kind of twist it over the side to get that head out. The next morning he comes along and then he notices the lamb's got his head stuck in the same spot. And so he's got to go back and he's got to twist the head and he takes the lamb out and rescues the lamb again. Third day in a row, the lamb, there he is again, his head even deeper in, so much so that he couldn't just slip that head out. And so he comes out with the bolt cutters and makes some snips and frees the little lamb, which sort of just scurries off on its own. Anyway, as he's walking off, he notices something going on. And then he realizes that actually what had happened is the lamb had managed to trick him into cutting a hole big enough so that both the lamb and a few other sheep could get to some choice grass that was right there on the other side of the fence. And then at that moment, he was sure that he could hear the other sheep just snickering behind him about what they'd managed to do. So, hey, maybe those sheep aren't so dumb after all. Now, it's an interesting, isn't it? Because the Bible talks about the church as like a flock of sheep. And I actually think it's not an insult to our intelligence, but an indicator of our need. Now you see, though, Psalm 23, great psalm about God as our shepherd. Let me read it out for you. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths. Great psalm. God himself is our shepherd who leads us, refreshes us, protects us. Now, one of the ways, as we're going to see in our passage this morning, one of the ways in which God does that for us is that he actually appoints under-shepherds to take care of his flock. See, Peter chapter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal to you as a fellow elder and as a witness of Christ's sufferings, who will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Now, you'll see that I've highlighted three words there. The three words are elder, shepherd, and overseer. Now, here's a quick Greek lesson for you. Now, there's three words there, but they're all actually describing the same person. Now, the word for elder there is the word presbyteros. Sound familiar? Yes, a word that actually Presbyterian is derived from. If you ever wondered what that weird-looking word is in our church's name, that's it. Presbyteros, referring to an elder. Now, I'll explain a little bit more about how that whole Presbyterian eldership thing works in a moment, but it's good to know to see how they're related. Now, as we move on, we can see the second word there is the word for shepherd, poimen, and the third word there for overseer is the word episkopos, for which you hear the word Episcopalian church, right, in America. It's actually the same name for the Anglican church here in Australia, right, because episkopos, from episkopos, you get the word bishop. So you get that feel for how a lot of different denominations try to distinguish themselves, and in part to do with the particular authorities and roles and responsibilities within that church. The idea of, you know, being an overseer, like a bishop, sort of oversees a bunch of churches in the Anglican Church. But I think, without getting sort of tied up into denominational differences, I think the picture that Peter is presenting to us is that there's a whole bunch of different roles and tasks that are going on that are all about the same job of this elder, of this pastor, overseer. You see, together, I think, gives you this mixture of things. I think Peter's describing a position under Christ. I think he's describing a task to serve Christ, and he's describing a calling to serve Christ. And ultimately, all of this is with the goal to please Christ. See, I want to suggest to you that actually this isn't just a passage for the official role-appointed elders in our church. Because I actually think this is a passage for everyone, because in some ways actually it does describe what every Christian should aspire to. So as we see, the elder, the pastor, the overseer is an example to the rest of the flock. Now we heard from Steve about what some of the elders do within our church here at Christ Central, and we have pastors like myself and James Jensen, who was there on the couch as well. But even if you don't have the title of elder or pastor, you may actually still be a shepherd within our church. See, this might be a passage for you if you're shepherding kids or youth or young adults or a growth group. Well, then this part of the passage is going to have lots to say about what our task is. In fact, even if you read the Bible with someone or provide some sort of pastoral care, then you may actually be playing a shepherd role for them. Now, this is a passage for everyone, I think, also who has a shepherd over them, that we might understand exactly what that kind of leader should be doing and how you should respond to them. So what do we learn actually about these elders? Well, I mean, the first clue is there, isn't that word elder, like it tended to be older people. Doesn't mean elderly necessarily, but at least you can say that people who have the experience of the ups and downs of life, who've persevered through hardship and suffering, for those who've shown Christ-like characteristics over many years, even decades. Why? Because it's important that actually perseverance is there, that shepherds don't just flee at the first sign of trouble or suffering or persecution. No, they need to stand guard steadfastly, no matter what, and to do so willingly. Verse 2, be shepherds of God's flock that are under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. So you see that first characteristic is that they're willing. You see, they don't take this on out of obligation. You don't take this on because you have to do that or because someone just threw you in there one day. You know, I remember for me growing up and playing the piano, for me it's not something I ever loved doing. And so it was never something that sort of willingly went up there and practiced and did my work on that. And eventually, of course, I eventually just gave it up. Now, one day I was actually sitting in the opera house at a concert where one of my friends was playing, and he was the main pianist. He's gone on to be a very successful, worldwide kind of known guy in that field. But I tell you what, listening to him play made me really, really want to get down and practice my piano playing. Now, by then, it was always already a little bit too late for me. But there is something about doing something because you want to, because you're willing, because actually you've been captured by a vision of the importance of what you're doing. And this is what Peter's saying, that for elders, that's going to be part of your joy, your willingness, that you do that because you see, you understand the importance and the vision of what it is that you have to do. That Sunday should be a joy, something to look forward to. That growth group is something that you endure unwillingly, but do it out of joy because you enjoy doing it. Because shepherding people towards eternity, towards taking people to share in the glory that is going to be revealed to us, should drive us to be the best shepherds we can be, to be eager to serve and to serve sacrificially. See, there's so many other temptations that come with power and position and authority. And one of those temptations is to use it for selfish gain. Selfish gain, verse 2, continuing on, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Now, I'm really glad that the whole American Gospel documentary has been making the rounds, thanks to Netflix, but I'm kind of sad that it had to be made, that there are so-called pastors with large flocks preaching a false gospel from which they personally profit immensely. Now, there's nothing wrong with being paid for the task of ministry. That's a good thing, and other parts of the Bible talk about that. But beware the temptation of wealth, the temptation to prey on others' desire for wealth by preaching an easy gospel of wealth and prosperity, that you prosper off yourself. See, being a shepherd is not a position of privilege. It's one of sacrifice and service, just as the chief shepherd served by giving up his life for others. So the under-shepherds serve not by trying to climb the ladder, but by descending the ladder, by being amongst his flock and serving them, laying down his life for them. You see that in the next verse. Now, the second temptation that you see there is a temptation to lord your position over others, to be an overlord instead of an overseer. Now, some of you might have actually experienced this. Maybe it's in your own workplace, the workplace bully, or the overbearing boss, but it happens in churches too. People who are determined to get their way. People are on about their own empire building more than they are about the gospel. People who will domineer and flaunt their power and influence. And sadly, many a church has been brought down by the domineering elder or pastor, leaving others hurt, disillusioned about the gospel work being stifled. In fact, you don't have to look too far to see that there have been some very high-profile pastors who have fallen in this way in recent years. And the trauma of that has continued to go on for years and years beyond that point. Instead, Peter says, be examples to the flock. You know, in any position of leadership over the flock will always resemble the leader. Now, the question is whether it's a good example or a bad example. See, if you're a pastor, an elder, teacher, even a kid's teacher, if you yourself are growing, then the flock will grow. If you are praying, then the flock will pray. If you're out on mission, then the flock will be out on mission with you. You see, a good pastor or elder knows the way, he shows the way, and he goes the way. So I ask you, growth group leaders, kids leaders, youth, young elves leaders, how are you going? Are you still growing as a Christian? Are you still curious to know God's word better? Is your relationship with God just as vibrant in prayer as it's ever been? Now, you know, when I hear myself saying those words, those standards, I'm just about ready to hand in my resignation over my own failures in those ways. But I'm also reminded actually of what Paul says to a young Timothy. He says this, don't look down on anyone. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Now, I think that's actually a really important thing in all this, isn't it? You see, none of us have ever truly arrived. No one of us can pretend to present a picture of perfection as a Christian. There was only ever one perfect man, But what the elder, the shepherd, the teacher must do is to show that we continue to strive, to progress, that we're still growing. That even as a pastor myself, I can be upfront about my own failings, not to dwell on them, but to actually model that I've got things to work on and I'm working on them. And part of the way that I try to keep growing is that I try to dedicate one night to the week in which I do some of those things that I do need to grow. So I've got a night in the week where I am deep in the Word in some way. Maybe it's I'm listening to a talk or a lecture or I'm reading a book. Or one night a week where I'm actually going out and doing something with non-Christians. I've got one night a week where Bonnie and I sit down and we have what we call a marriage meeting, where we get together and just talk and try to keep growing our marriage so that we're in each other's worlds and we're learning to grow and love each other. Why? Because these things are important. They're so important. And if I'm going to lead others, well, I need to be really sharp on these things. I need to be intentional. I've got to have a plan. Now, 1 Peter goes on. And he says that if you persist in doing this, in your task, as an example of great sacrifice, there's some great rewards too. Not the rewards of wealth or fame in this world, but the crown of glory in the next one. Now what I think Peter's actually contrasting to is the crown that was probably given out at the Olympics, and actually it still is often today. Now often in the Roman world and what you see in the Olympics today, now you didn't necessarily get a medal, but you got this crown of leaves called a laurel wreath. It's a perishable crown, right? It's one supposed to represent victory and power and glory given to the victors at the Olympic Games, but Peter says, hey, that wreath, that's going to last you 4 or 5 days, and that's going to perish. It's going to wilt. And it's a good metaphor, really, for a lot of the things that we strive for in life, isn't it? Money, possessions, power, success, popularity, they're laurel wreaths, a perishable crown. Peter says, strive for the crown of glory that will never fade away when the chief shepherd looks at your work as a shepherd, when he sees your faithfulness, your sacrifice, your willingness, your example, your progress. He will present you with the crown that will never fade. And elders, teachers, leaders, shepherds of Christ Central, that's the task. They're the qualities, and that's the reward for a job well done. And as I say, whether you've got the official position as an elder or a pastor, it's a task for all of us. Because actually, as our leaders are examples for the rest of the flock. But Peter actually does have a word to the flock as well. You'll see it there in verse 5. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. See, what does it mean to be part of a flock? Well, it's to watch and learn and model yourselves on those older saints within your church, to listen, to support them in your own humility, to aspire one day to be one considered worthy of that role of elder yourself. You know, I reckon it's so easy to take pot shots at your leaders, isn't it? I mean, their lives are publicly on display, and after a while it becomes very clear actually where we all fall short. And I reckon we live in this culture in Australia of real kind of anti-authoritarianism, and it's easy for us to be armchair critics without much skin in the game. But I think Peter says, be gracious with your leaders. Work with your leaders. Get alongside with them. They have the task to be shepherds under Jesus. And so go and serve faithfully with them. Be their co-workers. Don't put them up on a pedestal where they can do no wrong. No, there's only one shepherd who did no wrong. On the other hand, don't be so constant in putting down to judge and critique. But as one of Christ's under shepherds, he's there to work amongst the flock. So work with them. You see, church, there's a great word here for all of us. Whether you're an elder, a pastor, whether you're teaching kids on a Sunday morning or leading youth on a Friday night, whether you're meeting up with someone to provide some care and pastoral response, a pastoral word to them. It's a word for all of us. And it's a word, it's a picture of being like Jesus as his under-shepherds, caring, providing, doing it willingly, not taking advantage, but desiring to see them grow, that both yourself and those that you care for might all share in the glory that we can all share in with Jesus as those who continue to trust and follow him through life. I'm going to pray for us now. I'm going to pray for our leaders, our pastors, and for all of those who are involved in ministry here at Christ Central. So why don't you join with me? Father God, we want to thank you for this morning. We want to thank you for the chance to reflect on your word. And as this word to elders and pastors and teachers here at Christ Central, Father, I want to pray for all of those who have any position of authority and responsibility in our church. Father, might we take that seriously. Might we indeed take on these qualities that Peter talks about here, that we might be willing, we will not be overlords but overseers, that we might work amongst the flock, caring, shaping, teaching. And Father, we pray particularly for our board of elders. Lord, might you give them great wisdom and guidance as they bear the responsibility of shepherding our flock here at Christ Central. And Father, we pray that we might all do that with the imperishable crown in mind, that we might seek that over any worldly riches of fame or money here. And we pray that we might ultimately bring glory to our chief shepherd, Jesus himself. Amen.